LSU is electing to go in a different direction from a man that hired not one, not two, but three national championship winning coaches: Jay Johnson, Kip Mulkey, and Jay Clark. And the only decision that Scott Woodward will be remembered for at LSU was the final one, with Brian Kelly being one of the more expensive buyouts in college football history. As you could tell, I'm sad we already did an hour and a half long show. I thought we were going in this direction, and then right when I go live, you start hearing your phone go off, and Dellinger, who's been all over it, was the first to report it. But it's done. This should not be a day of celebration at all. Even if you hate Scott Woodward for putting us in this spot with Brian Kelly, this is what I will say before we get into Jeff Landry, the public pressure, and all of it. You cannot fully criticize Scott Woodward's decision of hiring Brian Kelly if you weren't somewhat too fully critical of when he actually made the decision to go big game hunting at LSU. Now, we can all do revisionist history and say, well, we should not have allowed Scott for making the Jimbo Fisher hire again, which essentially, in terms of contracts, it was a similar move. All this guaranteed money, a buyout at the wazoo, and obviously the details that a different athletic director was one who extended Jimbo there. The simple truth is, at the time, Scott Woodward was celebrated for that move. And I will say it till I'm blue in the face: I do not think Scott Woodward should have been the lone figurehead of this next search. But I do think with everything that unfolded today, Scott was ready to move on. It's important to note that Woodward is not really a public figure, if you will, in terms of him being out there, right? He's a guy that is relatively private. And look, he didn't want a whole lot of praise, and he also, at the same time, takes a brunt of the blame of everything that went wrong with Brian Kelly, when in actuality, a lot of it was Brian Kelly himself. Now, in the earlier stream, I talked about the agent thing, which is a point that Jeff Landry made that I did agree with, but I did not think what Jeff did to Scott was fair at all. To strip him down publicly the way that he did this week is very unfair to a man who once again hired three offense, I say offensive coordinators, three national championship winning coaches. So, for those that dance on the grave of a guy who left an elite athletic director job at Texas A&M to come home to Baton Rouge and live the dream of working for the LSU Tigers, to dance on his grave like this would be insane to me. Nonsensical, if you will. You want to do that for when Arkansas's Hunter Yurecek is gone? Sure, he's not been great. Scott Woodward has mostly been great. He made one colossally bad mistake. But Carter, what about Matt McMahon? I don't care. I don't care. I would have thought Matt McMahon would have made one tournament by now as well. So it's either been really bad or it's been really good, which of course Brian Kelly wasn't really, really, really bad, but he was bad. The truth is, I will not tolerate Woodward slander on tonight's live stream. I've never met the man. He's obviously someone that I wouldn't necessarily consider myself. I wouldn't have any type of connection to him outside of our love of LSU football and LSU sports. He comes from a political background, a lobbying background. That's not me, obviously. But the truth is, this man did more good for LSU sports than not good for LSU sports. and he will get another athletic director job pretty quickly. So now what's next? Well, we won't know who the LSU president is until that's announced. Many think it's the guy, McNeese. I thought this was going to happen, but I'm sunk. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty sunk. Will LSU sports be fine? I hope. This guy was a good AD. He was better than Joe Oliva. And I knew Joe personally, interviewed Joe quite a few times. But, man, dude, So what's next? Who is the next athletic director? Well, Verge Osbury will take over the seat. And Verge has been at LSU for a gazillion years. There's not many people that's more LSU than Verge Osbury. There's just not. Okay, so he will be the next athletic director, and we will go from there. Okay, so as usual, type Y for yes, type N for no. If you can hear me loud and clear, I'm going to do it because we are in a different location than I normally am. We're going to get to as many comments as we possibly can. Okay, Aaron says he is a top AD in the country. Let's go to Pierce. He says, what the Calvin, such a dumb decision, but understand why Scott would rather just get it over than be a puppet. Yeah, I could definitely see that as well. I voted for Carter twice. You voted for me twice. Devin says, thankful. I'm not going to call anybody a stupid A. Lars says, great news. Woodward has to go. RSX, welcome to the membership community. Now, this is my main concern with Jeff Landry. Okay? I think Jeff is hiring a bunch of Jeff Landry guys. Now, of course, anyone that ever becomes a leader, if you will, they're going to hire their guys and gals that they probably see the world through a similar lens with, all right? But many great leaders do a good job of hiring people that challenge them, that are of a different background, that are of a different viewpoint in the world of things. And for me, I do not think we're going to be in that direction. You know, I thought it was cool that we had someone like Scott Woodward as our athletic director and someone like President Tate, William Tate, as our president. William Tate is a big personality. He likes being in public. He likes being seen. His wife was a team chaplain, where Scott Woodward was mostly a hide in the shadows kind of guy. Did he do interviews? Yeah, he did great interviews, but that really wasn't his thing. He just liked being the athletic director of LSU. And I thought those two were both guys that I liked leading our athletic department. And I've said what I said earlier this week, that I do think the reins needed to be pulled in on Scott if the next hire was going to be made. But I would not have fired him. I do not think this was necessarily a true firing in that, you know, one person decided this was going to happen. I think this was somewhat mutual, kind of like the way President Tate departed as well. But like everyone has always said about jobs at LSU, and I don't remember who said this earlier this week, but these jobs are not yours. These jobs are rented. These jobs are temporary. These are elite jobs where the standard is always so unfreaking believably high. But I will tell you, this is going to be your biggest concern. And it should be your biggest concern. If you are an LSU fan, you do not want Jeff Landry essentially running this athletic department. Now, he has said in interviews that he is not going to pick the next football coach. And that might be true. That might be true. I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. But from the outside looking in, whether you read a national reporter like Ross Dellinger, who broke the story, or whether you listen to other fan bases cheer as we are viewed as a clown show or whatever, the perception is out there that we are a mess right now. And, you know, whether that perception will prevent us from getting the guy that we want, I don't know. I don't know. Now, what do we do with Virg Osbury as the next deputy athletic director? Could he be the full-time athletic director? I don't know. I don't know. With Virg, you know, many feel he's going to be at LSU for forever. The thing that Virg is remembered for was, you know, an off-the-field scandal or situation, if you will. I won't get into all the details, not necessarily because it's not of importance. It's just not really the news, right? That'll be discussed plenty now that he is in this role. But I've also interviewed Virg a few times. He's always been nice to me. This is, you know, something that I feel he will be prepared to do. One thing Virg has always been involved with is making the LSU schedules. So, you know, he's always been near the athletic director, always near the athletics department. So we'll see what happens. Okay. Booker's Rebirth says, I need to call in, please. You want me to drop an invite link? Okay. Let's go to Booker's Rebirth. He says, one $100 million bad hire is enough. Okay. So I understand in this world of sports, we are a results-based business. Why at the time of the hiring was this not talked about more? Scott wasn't the only one making these types of moves with coaches. Now, should he have done it twice? No. Should he have given Brian Kelly all that guaranteed money? No. Should Brian Kelly have had an incentive-laden deal where if he went 6-6, he got a bonus? No. And the fact that there, the agencies involved, which also involve, you know, Garrett Nussmeier here, does bring up some interesting questions in involving the hiring process. You know, when Scott hired BK, they were of similar ilk, right? Scott, while he is, you know, Baton Rouge through and through, he's not someone you consider and think about when it comes to someone from Louisiana, right? And Brian Kelly, obviously the same thing. They're both the same height. They both speak elegantly. They both have political backgrounds. There's a lot that could be discussed as far as how this hiring actually transpired, if you will. But if you take the Brian Kelly decision away, do you think most athletic departments would take the success that Scott Woodward has had? Yes. There's plenty of athletic departments that would love to have a natty in something. He won a natty in three different sports. Well, Carter, you're an LSU football channel. Yeah, we're not here to discuss other sports. We're here to discuss football. Yeah, but an athletic director's job is not just football. Okay? Let's go to Temple of Brutus, who wants to work at a school where the governor want to go public with all of this. Don't pay, don't do long contracts. Are you kidding me? I will say, let's just say the Scott Woodward decision came next week. It would have looked a lot better than this news leaking out right now. Now, truth be told, these are just reports. but Ross has reported it, On Three's reported it. Now The Advocate has reported it. And look, if this had actually happened next week, not off the heels of the explosive statement being made yesterday, we would be in a better spot, right? But because this all transpired, basically, I mean, really think about it. This, all of this transpired in 5 days. 5 days. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy to think about it. All right. Now, let's talk about Jeff Landry. I gave Jeff a whole lot of credit in the live stream before. This is not a political thing. This is not political under any stretch of the imagination. I understand he is a governor, but in this case, politics is mixing with sports, and it honestly is sports right now, where the governor oversees a board of trustees or all that stuff. Okay. I don't like it when our sports are a distraction for something bad. Or what's even worse, something that doesn't even need to exist. Let's bring up just a bad story. So-and-so stole money from school funds or whatever. All that negative story. That's like negative newsworthy stuff. It happens at every school. I'm not diminishing the stuff that LSU has gotten into. All right. But the problem with a lot of these Jeff Landry situations, if you will, is that they're distractions for the sake of distractions, for the sake of political drama, if you will. All right. So let's take one of Scott's biggest moves, Kim Mulkey, in the anthem situation during the NCAA tournament. Okay. Well, a lot of you remember that, right? It was crazy. It was wild. And all the governor needed to do was to say, look, I would prefer our girls and our coaches and our staff to be out there for the national anthem, but I do not believe we are disrespecting. This has always been it. Most teams do follow this and all of that. But no, we turned this into, hey, should we be thinking about ripping scholarships and all of that. Became a distraction. The statue situation earlier this week, it was a distraction. All of this was a distraction. Now, I do give Jeff a lot of credit. I like to think of myself as someone who thinks about things deeply and objectively and fairly. It is killing me today that I never thought of the Garrett Nussmeier and Brian Kelly share the same agent angle. That right there is amazing stuff from Jeff Landry. I'm just sharing the God's honest truth. The fact that he brought that up is a very important talking point. And like I said in the stream earlier, I wasn't able to confirm if their agents are also Scott's agents, right? That is a discussion talking point. And Jeff also bringing up the contracts of these coaches. It is a good talking point in the grand scheme of things, but not right now. Not everything needs to be a huge, drawn-out thing. It just doesn't need to be that. But here we are. I'm just telling you right now, the firings of Brian Kelly and Scott Woodward, I wholeheartedly agreed with Brian Kelly being fired. But the optics of it were, you fired a guy that went 10-4, 10-3, 9-4, and 5-3 in year four, and you're paying him $53 million to leave after those marks. The optics aren't great. Okay. So be it. The dirty laundry on BK is out. He wasn't loved by the national media. But the Woodward firing is just not going to look good. Okay, whether you agree or disagree with it, the way that this happened, it's just not going to look good. It's just not. This is going to look way worse than that. Okay? Now, the truth is, it is amazing to me, people that I know that not only support my channel, but just people I know on Twitter, that I know vote Republican, that I know watch Fox News and all of that. They just do not like Jeff Landry, which is crazy to me. That is wild. How many? Because look, most people in the state of Louisiana are Republican. Am I right or am I wrong about that? Right now, Jeff Landry is not viewed favorably by a lot of people in Louisiana. Also, in Jeff's defense, we do not know if he made this decision or not. But I think we can all connect some dots here. Okay? It's frustrating. It's frustrating. So, once again, I don't want to get into the politics of any of this, all right? As in, are you a Republican or are you a Democrat, or this is your thoughts on the statue or whatever, the person and all of that. I'm going to focus on LSU now, okay? So where does LSU go for the athletic director? Who knows? I just know that it's probably, I think a lot of ADs are going to balk more than a lot of coaches are going to balk, okay? Let's go to Booker's rebirth again. I think Landry has supporters among LSU boosters. I think there are LSU boosters factions. Some support Woody. Some support Landry. Ronnie, thank you so much. I wish I could just do film studies. I didn't get into doing this for this, as a lot of you know. Okay. You get one failed football coach hire at any major college football program. Darren makes a good point. After BK declined the initial offer and later changed his mind, was the tell to not pursue him any longer? He took the job for the money only. Yeah, it's also important to point out that Notre Dame wanted to keep BK. They offered something similar. Okay. So that is also a good point that it could just be. Another money thing. Okay. So new president, new coach, new athletic director, and Scott Woodward is getting $6 million to walk away. Okay. Now, you know, I don't know how Scott votes or anything like that. I don't. Him and Jeff just aren't aligned. You know, their personalities are so different. So there you go. Now, we'll take a few more here. Once I got the alert, I had some crawfish pasta waiting for me in there. Let's go to Cody. Imagine the government complaining about wasteful spending. Scott Woodward's mentor is James Carville. I myself have also worked with James Carville, but in a sports capacity. I worked with him for one day. It was one day. I was at SiriusXM, and he used to do a sports show on SiriusXM. And their contract, it was called 60-20 Sports. He did the show with Luke Russert's son, or no, Tim Russert's son, Luke. And their contract ended, and the show ended my first day in D.C. And I've met James a few times in press box. I didn't know James Carville was Scott Woodward's mentor. James was always nice to me. Let's go to Caden. How are we supposed to feel? You should feel sad. You should feel sad. And you should feel very worried about LSU right now. You should. And I am normally a guy that leans positive. I thought Scott was mostly a good athletic director. I really did. I really did. I thought William Tate was a great president for athletics. Okay, we'll take a few more. Shimona. This is wild times we're living in, but they are going to have to tread lightly because while the state may be Republican, the majority of the players are not. Yeah, I hear that a lot, that the college football, a majority of college football players are not Republican. I would say it's probably split down the middle from some of the players that I know personally. And I also think a lot of college kids, especially in athletics, they don't have fully formed political strengths or weaknesses, or a lot just don't really care. At this point, especially athletes, because if you're a college student, you're probably going to care a little bit more about politics because you have student loans and a bunch of different things at play. Whereas if you're an athlete, you're worried about sports and money. You are paid. So I don't know where most college athletes lean. I guess it would be depending by the sport. But I'll tell you, a football locker room is probably really down the middle. It's probably one of the more diverse. A college football locker room is probably one of the more diverse, politically leaned groups of people. But that's not the point of this live. All right, we'll take a few more here. I'm not going to lie, I'm sad. I am sad. And I do want to share a bigger point in all of this, okay? There were two people in the Southeastern Conference that hammered a talking point when it came to the single biggest change in the SEC of the last 5 years. All right, and some would say it's NIL, some would say it's the transfer portal. But to me, it's the additional ninth conference game in the SEC schedule. And there were two people in favor of the ninth conference game at LSU more than basically anyone else, and they just happened to be under the same roof. Ruth, shout out my mama. It was Scott Woodward and Brian Kelly. Now, Scott, if you're watching this, I don't know how many different LSU YouTube channels are live right now for this breaking news. But Scott, I want to thank you for being so public in favor of the 9-game conference schedule. Brian Kelly, if you're watching this, thank you for being in favor of the 9-game conference schedule. And look, I'm telling you right now, with all of this going on, the job is infinitely harder with that 9th conference game on the horizon. Everything's going to be harder with a 9th conference game and a 10th at a conference P4 and only 2 rent-a-wins. All of this. Everything that we're discussing is going to be harder. And the two guys that were not a bunch of baby back biatches about a tougher schedule are out the door. So one thing that you need to do when you hire the next coach is you need to hire someone that is not afraid of what is in front of him. All right? Because when Brian Kelly took over LSU, the mess that he had to clean up behind the scenes with Ed Orgeron is very well known. And then, of course, he had to get the team back on the right track. And we also had off the field, NIL, realignment, all that stuff. Brian Kelly had not the easiest slate. But the truth is, whoever is coming in next is going to be in an even tougher spot than Brian Kelly was ever in. All right? Because there's no guarantee that the next coach that comes in will have Will Campbell fall in his lap. There's no guarantee that that's going to happen. Think about how much of the first 3 years of the Brian Kelly era was in that first recruiting class. You had Will Campbell and you had Mason Taylor exceed all expectations. And then you have Malik Nabers. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. Most of the players on our team, they're older. So in theory, we will have Tre'Davious Green and we will have Harlan Berry. That looks like two really, really, really good players. But we don't have a young offensive line piece. Maybe there is one in this recruiting class that I don't know about. But everything is harder. And I think that is something else that you have to factor in. If you are getting a coach and you're wanting to get him from a different conference, does a coach really want to walk in and say, hey, oh, there's a ninth conference game? Now, I'll also say that Brian Kelly and Scott Woodward's vocal support of a ninth conference game really didn't push anything across the finish line. You know, money always does, but there was nobody in the SEC more vocal about not being fearful of that. And for that, I give him credit. Okay. Dear eyes forever. Let's move on. I don't know what you're talking about, but welcome to the channel, Becky. Temple of Brutus says this is code red bad. Now, DD1970 says, sorry, the ninth conference game is ludicrous. I don't want to make this a ninth conference game discussion, but let's go to Roby, a big super chat. Good show. Thank you for the hard work that you do during these times. Do you think the athletic director will help or hurt the baseball team and Jay Johnson getting more money? Well, yeah, I don't think Jay Johnson's happy about this. I don't. Now, do I think Jay Johnson and Jeff Landry have a relationship? I don't know. That's not a – baseball is not really, you know, what I do here until it's actually baseball season, but we did a lot of baseball coverage. Obviously, Jay Johnson just met President Trump not too long ago. And obviously, yeah, it's Jeff Landry's guy. But – yeah, I don't know how Jay Johnson feels about this. I mean, I know Jay and Scott had a really good relationship. Jay was also very aggressive when it comes to his recruiting, but the funding for his program, for his coaches, staff, from Chris Martin, the athletic trainer, to the players, I mean, all of it. So, yeah, I mean, I wonder how Jay feels about this. I think... obviously, if someone were to ask him publicly, that you would say, hey, you know, I appreciate Scott, but life moves on. It's part of the job. But this is big-time college athletics. Chances BK wasn't afraid to play golf or go to the beach. Rick says the SEC is going to 9 due to Big Ten pressure. Who wanted it? I mean, that's some of that. I do. But let's go to the Franco Nation. Jay is pissed at Scott Woodward because Scott didn't want to help him, is what I heard. Okay. So like I said, Jay Johnson was very, from what I understand, he was very vocal about funding towards the baseball program. I don't think it was as adversarial. And I don't think it was an adversarial situation, but I could be totally wrong on that. Could be. Maybe Jay Johnson's happy. I don't know. But I do think whether he's happy or sad, he is very fortunate and very grateful that Scott was the one who hired him. Okay? Oh, I'm senile. I don't think you're referencing me, though. Let's go to Caden. Is there a world where all this works out for the better? I sure hope so. Yeah, so, you know, last thing, and this goes, I think a few of you have mentioned the revenue sharing. So, you know, the last thing on the revenue sharing stuff with the baseball, obviously something that's way over my head, okay? What I can tell you is that for sure played a role in the departure of Tennessee's baseball coach, Tony Vitello, which I'm still angry about. I wish Tony V was still in the SEC. He made SEC baseball so much fun, causing controversy, all that good stuff. But yeah, I think, you know, with the revenue sharing, a lot of baseball coaches weren't thrilled with how some of that was doled out because, you know, a lot of baseball programs make more money than women's basketball programs, and women's basketball programs turn a big negative. Let's go to Brandon. Matt McMahon will be under pressure. Ooh. Don't get me started on that. Okay. So the big bombshell from today, and this is a massive, massive bombshell. In the report from Ross Dellinger, and the chat's about to get really, really, really toxic. Okay. And that's fine. That comes with the territory. Okay. And like I said, I am always sympathetic to the actual men in the arena to a certain degree. And that goes towards Scott. That goes towards Jeff. We all have agendas. We all do. The single most explosive thing that was reported today, outside of the actual report that Scott is parting ways, or whoever's parting ways with who, whatever, was the Will Wade stuff, that Jeff Landry went to Scott Woodward and said, I want Will Wade back. And Scott was obviously never going to do that. You know, there's so much more to that, whether it's actually being on tape or your wife's name on some of the checks or whatever from that story, from that era, from that situation. That is just absolutely positively insane. I think every single one of us wanted Will Wade back, especially considering the public would have been on your side with how the sport is actually being run now. Was that even a possibility? I don't know. I do not know. Okay. I don't even know why. Like Angel Reese. I swear, Angel Reese can breathe and her own LSU fans will slander her. It never ceases to amaze me. And I'm not saying Angel Reese is like a perfect person. It's just Like I just I don't know. That was a wild comment. And I will not tolerate that. And there's an actual LSU women's basketball game going on. Let's go to Jay Tiger. I thought there was a single donor who said he'd pay match a certain amount for the buyout. So that was basically one report from a well-respected reporter, television reporter in New Orleans. So I don't know. I don't know. But the thing, one thing that's crazy to me, Ronnie, good to see you in here. Did LSU women's basketball return a negative even with the natty? I'm not an expert in that category because as far as like profits, revenue, and all that for a sport, it gets fishy because there's different accounting earmarks that you can make to make something be a plus or a minus, right? And then, of course, you can get into even if it was in the negative, LSU's brand obviously hit a completely different level, right? So you don't, it's hard to quantify how many more little LSU fans you made with having such a run that that team in general had. So yeah, I don't know the final number to that, Ronnie, but most women's basketball programs do return a massive negative. So this was actually some of Dellinger's reporting back in 2018 when he was able to FOIA the actual full revenue reports. And women's basketball, not only under Nikki Fargus, but in other programs have somewhat similar numbers, return a negative $3 million number. So, you know. It gets tough. It gets tough, but no doubt Kim Mulkey has made us better. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. With that, and obviously, it making money is not of my concern. Brayden, I know nothing. All right. What I do know. Obviously, we have a Patreon service, patreon.com/LSU football. We have a Discord that gives you access to it. That's a great way to support us. But one of the best ways to support PHL is to get that body checked.
Are you missing that sweet swing? If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of LeBourne Therapy Center. Yes, Chase and his team built this simulator to go along with a full set of programs catered to your needs. Yes, this entire team at LeBourne Therapy worked hard to fix that back, your elbow, shoulders, wrists, knees, toes. It doesn't matter. At their Lafayette location, 337-981-4053. Call today. But what if you don't golf? And what if you don't live in Lafayette? No problem. They fix anything therapy related. Book today, labortherapy.com. With
PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important. But what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you. It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563 or visit fortifiedgulf.com. That's FORTIFIEDGULF.com. Let's go. Alrighty, so I don't want to just be negative Nancy. All right. Part of why I don't like this news breaking is that in life, the negative always outweighs the positive. Look at this image. LSU had multiple former LSU Tigers at practice earlier today. There's Rohan Davies speaking to the team. And this is a pretty fun photo right here. I know it's tiny because it puts all these players here. Jamari Roscoe, who's a coach, is there. But Jacob Hester spoke to the team. Matt Flynn was there. And then Steve Insminger, who himself is also a very quiet, don't look at me kind of guy, was also there. The Slanger back in the hizzy. Am I a positive, Patty? So here's the thing. Part of why I don't like this news breaking today and why all these Landry appearances on in the media that's making us not look great is that the good news is that our former players feel invigorated. They feel rejuvenated, if you will. Yeah, the Andrew Whitworth report from earlier today that he said he reached out to Brian Kelly to see if he can help in any way. I didn't read that full report. I was driving to this beautiful city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. But today was a good step in the right direction because there were a lot of people in that building who learned even more the value of being an LSU Tiger. Okay. Henry, that's hit or miss. It's hit or miss. Sardo says, I can't wait for a college president to be installed. My view, RN, says, I no longer think Lane is the guy. Well, I will tell you this. Okay? So on Tuesday night, we had a pretty explosive guest who himself is not really explosive when you actually listen to him. Really good friend of the show, Cooper Patagna, joined us. He is a 247 sports talent evaluator. And, you know, he said during the show that he was fairly confident that Lane Kiffin was going to pick LSU. He said that was a hunch. He felt it was a 6 out of 10. And, he doesn't feel the same way now. I think a lot of people don't feel the same way about Lane. I do. You know, one thing Lane and President Landry would get along with is that Lane is a very big Donald Trump supporter, as is Jeff Landry. Not going to get into that lane of things, but Donald's name has been mentioned this week by Jeff himself. So, you know, obviously it's very important to Governor Landry. Would that make Governor Landry be a little bit more open to paying Lane that money? I don't know. Okay. I don't know. There's a lot of different factors at play. I do know that Lane was almost the athletic, almost the offensive coordinator here at LSU. So yeah, let's not call Lane a gardening tool in the chat. The bad word for a gardening tool. Because why would you say something about Lane Kiffin that you would not say about him if he actually said, hey, I'm coming to LSU? I'll put it up, even though it'll get me demonetized. All right? I don't care. Drew Boogie said it. I won't say this word. YouTube's going to send me a pretty angry email saying, why would you do that? It's a word that they don't like. But Drew, ask yourself. Actually, I'll take it down. Is it worth saying that? What if Lane was watching this right now and he said, Drew Boogie called me a gardening tool? I think you were saying he's a shovel because he can dig us out of this mess that we're in. I think that's what you're referencing. Ashley, good to see you. She said Lane ain't coming. Ashley, it's been forever. I hope you're okay. And she said the big wit report made him so mad. Temple said Saban is scared that the governor is going to throw him under the bus. I don't know. I don't know what Saban thinks at this point. Okay, I'm making sure I didn't miss any comments because I knew this chat was going to be crazy. I'm also not able to see my numbers while I'm live. And look, there. Man, there's a good bit of you in here. My StreamYard says 817 of you guys are in here. Welcome. Okay. So in the next 5 to 10, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. This will be our last live stream. I couldn't believe we've gone live 5 times now in four days. I wasn't supposed to go live tonight. I was going to take tonight off for the bye week. But I am in the beautiful state of Baton Rouge. The beautiful state of Baton Rouge. I am in my home city. God, I love the city so much. I love my family. I love the state. I hope no matter what, we can get a football coach and our governor can make the state better. I don't care what political beliefs you are. I just want this state to be the best state in the United States of America. Because guess what? A lot of people think this is one of the better states, one of the more iconic states. I got to eat. This was new today. I got to eat the jambalaya boudin ball, a new flavor at Billy's today. I was also in Ruston for a little bit earlier today. Had some delicacies at a few new businesses there. I drove all around Louisiana. I love it, man. Whew. Had Boosie blaring. How about Dan Mullen? Kevin Winslow. I'm a soldier. No, I'm kidding. That's Kellen Winslow. Forget football. Now everyone knows the governor is a... Well, I'm not going to ever call somebody an idiot. I could say that as someone has had idiotic decisions, but... In truth, there's no one in the existence of mankind that is an all-out idiot. We all have different levels of knowledge, right? Scudderobe. What would I give up to get Lane Kiffin drinking for 60 days? I don't think I've had any alcohol in 60 days. I don't think so. Would I give up drinking for an entire season if Lane Kiffin were to come to LSU? I would. I do like the occasional adult beverage. I feel like going to Zippy's. Zippy's is kind of far from where I am, but well, Zippy's is far from where I am. But I can use a Zippy's DAC. Y'all want to go to Zippy's right now? Anybody down? Take me a little while to get there, but God, I'm going to take a large one of them bad boys. What would I give up to get Lane Kiffin? I would give up the best thing on earth for 5 years, and you all know what that is, right? I would give it up for 5 years. Braden says Marg's on you. I'm down, Braden. Max says, don't mix politics and sports. Okay. Do not mix politics and sports. You cannot not mix them. It's everywhere. Now, to what extent should politics and sports not mix? I think that would be the better question. Because it is impossible to fully separate the two, right? Fully impossible. Think of politics and sports like this, right? Let's say you have a big steak, and steak, we all agree, is awesome. Now, if you're a vegan, get the hell out of here. My wife's a vegan, so whatever. But let's say I have a big steak on the plate, all right? And obviously, with steaks, the best steaks, you don't need sauces, right? But some people like sauces with their steaks. And some people like to have a side of mashed potatoes or whatever. And you put it all on one plate, and you could separate them all you want. You could separate those things and still enjoy the meal. But at some point, they intertwine. Whether it's before, whether it's after. And it's up to you if you want to let that ruin your meal. Okay? So I get that a lot, Carter. Do not mix politics and sports. And I feel like I do a really good job of that. I really do. But one of the biggest things in professional sports is when these stadiums are being built. How much of the taxpayer dollar goes to the stadiums? That's a huge political conversation. Huge. Every stadium goes through it, outside of the owners who actually pony up and pay for it. But even then, there's still political sides of it. And that's something that all professional sports teams go through. And then you get into bigger things involving politics and sports. Would you have told that to Tommy Smith and John Carlos that fateful night at the Olympics? Politics and sports intertwine then. When you have human beings involved with emotions and aspirations, politics will mix. Whether you're at work, at some point, whether you like it or not, you're going to know some of your coworkers' politics. It's hard. It's really hard. Politics and sports, as we've learned today, will always be intertwined. Now, where it crosses the line is, how much do political figures or sports figures bring politics into the conversation? For me, as long as the games are played, I'm fine because I am there to watch football. I'm there to watch basketball. But then again, it's a little bit different in my background. A lot of you have different backgrounds. You notice when I am angry on here, when I am raging, when I'm going off the hizzle, if you will, I'm really going off, and I really do mean it. But part of it is, you know, I did stand up for 5 years. I got called every last thing in the book from fellow comics. Your skin becomes so thick. It takes so lot. It takes a whole heck of a lot for me to be offended or scarred by something. So my gauge for that is a little bit different than yours. And I think that's something else that's not discussed in the, well, politics and sports and all of that conversation. But here with LSU, because this is getting posted a lot. Well, don't let politics and sports intertwine. Well, at LSU, that's impossible because of what a lot of us have learned today. I think a lot of us have become more well-versed on LSU athletics as one of the more self-funded universities in America. LSU, its board of directors does have the governor involved, and so on and so on and so on. But it's for you to decide how much that ruins the experience for you. And it's also on your actual politicians or sporting figures, how much they want to let that be a part of the discussion that we're having right now. And whether you agree or disagree with a lot of what Jeff Landry has said, and I think most people that do LSU media stuff have similar politics to that of Jeff Landry. And I think also most people in sports media has acknowledged that Jeff Landry has made some vitally important points that a lot of us would agree with, the agents and the salaries and all of it. But Jeff Landry has decided when it comes to mixing politics and sports that he was going to be very public with this. Welcome to the channel, Nickel Pony. Look at you outside of Tiger Stadium. Contract for the next coach should be incentive-based. Win SEC bonus, make playoffs bonus, win Natty Big bonus, extra year on contract. All right. So Nickel Pony, this comes down to you. It really does come down to you. And that's something I always want my channel to be. My job here is to not convince you to believe what I believe. My job here is to do two things. Number one, entertain you, because a lot of you work hard and you want to listen to something LSU football related. I don't mind talking sports and politics intertwining. I really don't. It's just not what I'm here to do. I want to just talk about football. I want to break down how much fun Alabama's offense has actually been this year with Ty Simpson and their receivers and all of that. And I know this is stressful, so look, this isn't what my channel is, all right? Someone in the last stream said, hey, can we get back to the film studies? Or I like your film studies. But I don't mind having these conversations. I don't mind having these difficult conversations. Jeff Landry always has an open invite to the channel. But, you know, Jeff did a really captivating interview with Matt Moscona. I thought Matt did a mostly good job pushing back and disagreeing with him on some things. So I highly recommend you check it out. And Jeff did an interview with Pat McAfee. But look, my job here is to entertain. I want this to be fun for everybody involved. But I don't want you. Now, obviously, I would prefer you to have my viewpoint because I think a lot of my viewpoints are correct. And when I'm wrong, I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong and all of that. I think it's very important to do that. But all I want to do, sitting in this chair, talking to all of you beautiful people, all you cool cats and kittens, is to push your personally held beliefs on LSU football and just sports in general. I want to push those. I want to push that as far as I can. I want to make you think about your positions. I want this to be a captivating conversation regarding anything, whether it's a play that I'm breaking down or whether it's a topic or anything along those lines. So all I'm doing here is not trying to make you believe that I'm right on anything, but it's just to make you think about things deeply. Chris R. says, this whole meltdown about Woodward's firing is absurd. Fans have wanted to fire Woodward 100 different times. The reality is that he tried to make a home run hire and struck out. So tell me this, Chris. I want you to tell me this, and welcome to the channel. When was there a huge push for LSU fans to fire Scott Woodward? When has it happened since he's been here? Now, Joe Oliva? Oh. When wasn't there conversation regarding that? I'm serious. Maybe I'm naive to it. Clarence says elections have consequences. Look at Clarence. Oh, Clarence is on the weight fly machine thing. I use this thing. I got to shout out my guy Branson. Branson is one of my workout buddies, and he's gotten me to do those things. Dude, those chest pulls on those fly machines. Man, I've got some titties now. Look at that. Look at that Joe Burr. I shouldn't have said titties. I'm going to get demonetized. I put the word H-O-E up here, and I wasn't talking about Santa Claus, if you know what I mean. But I got some upper body strength, right? Ain't no silicon in these valleys right here. It's a... Oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. But that chest machine that Clarence has right here, that is... But you're right, elections have consequences. That's why we have them. That's why we do them. Now, I'm not going to get into which elections you might be referring to. I'm guessing you're referring to less gubernatorial. Some people think that this is good. Some people think it's bad. Whatever. That's your prerogative, Clarence. But welcome to the channel. Kick Booty, your chest is not bigger than mine, bro. Look, you even changed a gym photo. You don't have these chesticles, bro. You wish you did. You wish you did. Look at that. Look at these. You wish you had these pectorals. And the thing that you don't have is a lot of hair on them. Look at these are. These are, it doesn't get any more manly than these bad boys right here. I'm a 34 double D right here. That's what that fly machine has done to me. You don't want to mess with this. You don't want to mess. I'm kidding. You know what's funny? I am in better shape, but I'm still weak. I'm still weak as hell. You know what's funny, Sibley? And Sibley and I are really close. I don't have a whole lot of money. I'm serious. I don't. This is so true. And I've actually lowered the amount of workouts I do during the weekend. I'm starting to cut more videos because I'm like, football season's about to end, and I'm going to have to apply for a job at Chick-fil-A. I'm serious. Like, a lot of YouTube revenues have gone down, but it's not that. It's, my money has mostly been constant. It's just the price of everything has gone up. So instead of let's go, it's going to be, would you like fries with that? And that's what I'm going to be yelling into microphones like these pretty soon. There's nothing wrong with that. You got to pay the bill somehow. But yeah, that wallet, my wallet muscle is not where it needs to be. I am 110 plate on each side of the bar on bench when it comes to my wallet muscle. That is true, Sibley. It's one thing that brings us all together. We are all tigers, regardless of your political parties. Damien? Oh, Damien with the hat. The Smokey the Bear hat. You think a lot of coaches are passing now? I don't know. That is funny, Andre. Louis P. Long. The Kingfish. Or the Lingfish. So for those that don't know, Huey P. Long was a governor. He was very involved with LSU football. And this was back in the 1930s. Mr. Huey P. Long. Shout out the Huey P. Long fans in the chat. He's probably got some stands in here. The Prince Fish. Huh? All right, y'all. That'll be it. I'm going to go spend some time with the fam. We'll talk to you soon. Shout out to all our top super chatters. It was just Roby tonight. I thought we were going to get a few extra memberships in this thing. Hollywood says, you're asking me, have I been an offensive coordinator anywhere? You think I could do high school? I probably couldn't if I'm serious. Dude, it's hard being a high school play caller. You know, I would say a lot of college guys would not say college or high school play calling is easier. But it probably is a little bit more challenging, because one of the things that a lot of high school play callers struggle with is just having enough bodies. You know, your offensive line per lineman weight in college is, even at the lowest colleges, are probably like 240, 250. And then in high school, that number is probably 200. If you were to get the median average high school weight on offensive lines, so it changes a lot. So there you go. All right, y'all. I know I pissed a lot of you guys off in this stream, and that comes with it. Appreciate each and every one of you, and we will see you for our next live stream on Sunday night. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Big shout out once again to Laborde Therapy Center and our friends over at Fortified Gulf Coast. Tonight we are doing shrimp pasta. Let's go. Let's go.